You are listening to a life-impacting message preached by Bishop Richard Ayi. Bishop Richard Ayi is the pastor of the First Love Church London, a denomination founded by Bishop Dag Heward Mills. The First Love Church is full of zealous young people who love and desire to work for the Lord. You will be encouraged and uplifted as you listen to this powerful message.
Is risen upon you. Behold, the darkness shall cover the earth.
Thank you. Let us pray. Father, we want to bless your great name. Thank you for your powerful presence. Thank you for healing, salvation, and the richness of your word to bring us direction and hope, Lord. Let this be a blessed service, Lord, and a blessed time in your presence. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your presence. And thank you for your power, Lord. Let your great and perfect will be done amongst us. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Take your seats. Beautifully fantastic. Hallelujah. Good to see all of you again. I had to run away from my crowd just to come and see you. Because when I look in Accra, I could see all your friends there. All your friends, all your pastors. Everybody is there. So I thought you'd be very lonely. So I said, well, I need to come and comfort you. Yeah, so I ran back with Seamus. We both ran back. We said we have to come in. Comfort. And Pastor Tinashe, we had to run back to come and keep you company. Because when we look to our left, we see your friends. When we look to our right, I see your friends. When I look in front of me, I see your pastors. When I look around me, I see your sisters and your brothers. I say, everybody is there. So we had to come back. So you don't feel lonely. So that's why we are back, because we're having a good time there. It was a real good time. I hope next year you'll be there. How many of you are planning to be there next year for MTL? You shouldn't be left behind. Yes. You shouldn't force me to come back. So next year we should say that Sunday after MTL there's no service, because everybody is there anyway. Can it happen practically? Oh, you're not sure? Ibi, you don't look like you're sure. You're not saying anything. The will of God be done. Amen. Okay, she said amen. The will of God shall be done. But it's good to see all of you. It's good to be back. We hope you didn't feel too lonely. You didn't miss too. Were you watching live stream? So were you connected? So you've learned a bit about Jesus. Savior of the world. Fantastic. So, but next year, be there. That's what some of you say every year. I've seen it before. I've seen people telling me that they'll be there, but every time they say it, they are here. There are some people that I can see here who say, every year they say they'll be there, but they haven't moved yet. May whatever is keeping you here every year be removed out of your life so that you'll be there. But it's a blessing to be back. Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. I was just watching your friends on live stream. They are very happy dancing over there. Wow. Well, I say you should turn to Colossians 4. Okay, yeah, we're in Colossians 4. Today I'm closing on this series, how you can make full proof of your ministry. How many of you have been blessed by this series? how to make foolproof of your ministry. I've been telling you that after salvation, the next big thing is what is called your ministry. And the ministry, working for God, serving God. That's your next aim. After salvation, the next thing is not to buy a car. The next thing is not for God to provide you with a lot of money. The next big thing for a Christian is ministry. Ministry. It's the next exciting thing to do as a Christian. It's not marriage. Marriage will come. Marriage will come. Even people who have married don't even value their marriage very well. So when you open your eyes, you see clearly, you see things. That's why we keep making references to these things, so that you're not blinded to things that are staring at you. Because sometimes when you look, you don't even have to look far. You say, this person is married. He doesn't seem to value his marriage much. The thing that you are dying for. You see, when you look, you see, she's married, but she doesn't even care. Two hoots. Do you know two hoots? Two hoots? Do you know two hoots? You are driving a car or you are standing somewhere and someone honks. Bing, bing. That's two hoots. Yes. So you see this person, is he not married? Is she not a married person? Does he care? Two what? Two hoots. Yes. Two honks. Doesn't care two honks to make any effort for anything. So as you are dying for something and make that, your eyes have to be open. It's not like marriage is a bad thing. Marriage is a very beautiful thing. Very beautiful, exciting, sweet, pleasant. But the scripture says that he that finds a wife finds a good thing, not a bad thing, a good thing. May you have a good experience in your marriage. Yes, finds a good thing. That means that has got a good experience. You will have a good experience. Are you prepared to have a good experience? Yes, but you will see that when you look, because you sometimes you have to look. You have to look and you see that, no, I can't die for this thing. I shouldn't become an unbeliever because of this. Because I can see somebody who has it and doesn't care what. Two hoots. If it's difficult for you to say hoots, you have to say honks. Two honks. That's beep, beep. It doesn't make any difference to the person. It's nothing. It's not a big deal. So that you can pursue the ministry. Because the ministry is the next big thing as a Christian. Colossians chapter 4 and towards the end, verse 17, it says that, and say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord. Maybe you didn't even know that you have received the ministry, but there's a ministry that's been given to you. There's work and assignment that's been given to you to do as a Christian and as a believer. So take heed. In other words, pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to it. Pay attention to the ministry so that you will fulfill it. Why should you pay attention to it so that you fulfill it? Because when you get to heaven, it's going to be one of the things you'll be questioned about and you have to answer for. And it's also going to be one of the things that you receive crowns for. Crowns. Crowns. How many of you like crowns when you get to heaven? Do you like heaven at all? Do you think about heaven? Do you feel heaven is a real place? It's a real place. It's a real place. The scripture says that though they that have this hope purify themselves. When you have the hope of heaven, you see that your life on earth is different. Because of your hope that I'll make it to heaven. And the reality of heaven and all the things that go on in heaven, it forces you to have a lifestyle that is different from those who, from those who don't have this hope. Those who don't have it. Because there are people who don't have the hope of heaven. They don't even care. Wow. But when you have the hope, it forces you to live a pure life. A life, when I say pure, a life that is pleasing to God. You see, have a willing heart to serve God. and to be interested in God and want to know God more and do things for God. That's what you should be governed by and directed by. That I want to serve God. I want to work for God. I want to do things for God. Hallelujah. Amen. Back to Colossians chapter 4, verse 17. Take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord, that thou fulfill it. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 5. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Wow. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. You know, you are blessed to be hearing such a message at this stage of your life. Because if you hear it later, it's going to be really tough. It's going to be really tough. Can you imagine you are writing an exam? And you're supposed to answer how many questions? 3 questions out of 5. And you think you're supposed to answer 2 questions. And then you discover 5 minutes to time that there's one more question to answer. Can you imagine the feeling? And the race and the rush that you are going to put through. Or you are living your life and you are doing the right thing, but then you don't have anyone encouraging you. Do you understand? Or anyone doing what you are doing. So you feel you are doing something wrong. Because everybody around you seems to be doing something different. So you change course. I remember when I was in year 6. That was many years ago, isn't it? Yes, I was in year 6. We were writing an exam. It was a math exam. And my year 6 teacher was called Mrs. Quest. And she was walking through the class, looking at everybody, what they were doing. Then when she got to my desk, she stood. And I was really feeling good. So I was really charging on the questions. It was math, but really arithmetic. No. I was really going through with ease. And she stopped. And I remember she folded her arms like this. And she dropped her head and she was looking at what I was doing. So at a point, I became nervous. And I said to myself, why is this man not moving? And she was standing. And she was just looking. Just looking at what. I mean, she stood by me for about 10 minutes. She was just standing there. Someone has been moving all along. She just stood and she folded her arms, dropped her head, and she was looking. She was just looking on as I was racing through, feeling good and feeling confident. Then at the point, she just strolled away to the others. Then something said to me, what you are doing is wrong. I'm telling you, I said to myself, no, there must be a reason why this woman stood there. She's perhaps telling me that no, what you're doing is wrong. No. So my pen that I was using, I put it at the bottom of the paper like this, and I canceled everything. Why is it? How do you know that I was rather being delivered? I canceled everything. And I started again, doing everything in another way. And I remember I could feel that this is not what I'm supposed to be doing. But I said, that woman, the way she was looking at me, there's a problem. No longer after it was time to hand in. I was like, so I handed it in. Oh, man. But you see, from the kindness of her heart, she chose to mark the one that I had canceled instead of the new one. Yeah, from the kindness of her heart. And she wrote a nice note on it. You know, something nice to encourage me that it's like, it's good, you've done well. She ignored because it was just one line through like that. But she marked that one. And I got, by the way, I got 38 out of 40. Yeah. You're surprised I remember your six stories, isn't it? I can even tell you nursery stories. Yes. Yeah. But I remember, you see, because I felt alone. It's like everyone else might be doing something different. Why has she chosen to? But she was admiring. She was admiring her golden student. And because she was staring on, rather, I felt that, no, I'm doing something wrong. That's how it is. When you are odd, when you are doing something that a lot of people are not doing, you feel you are doing something wrong. That's how the ministry is. And that's how usually Christianity is. When you are serving God, you are serious about God. You are with God, pressing on with God. And most people around you aren't serious about the ministry. You feel there's something wrong with you. How many of you have felt that way before? So as you lift up your hand, even your friend is shocked. Yes. So you see something, you are there. You all want to serve God. But nobody is serious in your clique. So everybody is playing. It's like, okay, I want to play games like my friend is playing games. Instead of accept, do you remember we talk about accept separation? Instead of accepting separation and moving on. Is this room warm? Is it feeling warm for you? I'm not the only one. So why didn't you say it? Because I'm feeling warm. I felt like it's a preaching that is making me feel warm. It's both the preaching and the... Okay, no problem. But we need a room cooler. Isn't? Did you say you're feeling warm?
Yes.
You sure? Okay, it's not just me. Okay. It's not like the power of God around me that is making me feel. Okay. You know, a brother, a Christian pastor, was taking a decision the other day on something. Do you understand something? Yes, he was going to do something. And I had forgotten what I said, but he was telling me a few days ago that this is what I said. And I said to him that this decision you are making, if it's your wife, she will not make such a decision. She would, if you like, abandon you and serve God and move on for God. Because now the tables have slightly turned and his wife has to make a decision. And he wrote a long letter to me. He said, I am surprised at the speed and the conviction and the strength with which my wife has moved. And he said, as she was moving, I said to myself, this is what Bishop Richie told me, that if it was her, what he refused to do, she is doing. And I just said, I sent him, you know, that emoji. In a certain language, that expression means, oh, you are. I haven't forgotten that that's what I said. So is it something you have to know that everybody has a race to run. Everybody has a race to run. I, as your pastor, I would not allow any of you to slow me down. No, 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 no. You don't even stand a chance. You don't even stand a chance. I'll run over you like six buses packed together and not on the move. No, 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 no. There's not even one person in this church that can slow me down. I will run over you like what? Six double-decker buses. That makes 12. It will go 12 high. Yeah. Because that's the scripture. That's the scripture. Make full proof of thy ministry. Full proof, not partial proof. It's like complete what God has called you to complete. And there isn't much time. Yeah. I was in my 20s when I started pastoring. Somebody was asking me, how old was I when I was appointed a pastor? I said, I was 26. Yes, I was 26 years old when I was appointed a pastor. Another 26 years has gone by just like that. Yeah. But I was 26. I remember the day Bishop put me on his stage. in his church and told the congregation, from today, that's this was his announcement. He said, from today, he's Pastor Richard. Yes, and the congregation was clapping. I'm surprised you're not clapping. They were clapping, yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he told them. The church used to meet in the hospital, in the canteen of the hospital. So we were in the canteen of the hospital. He said, from today, he's called Pastor Richard. And he said, do not call him Pastor Mighty, because my nickname was Mighty. So a lot of people called me Brother Mighty. He said, do not call him Pastor Mighty. He's Pastor Richard. Many years ago, I was 26 years old then. Yeah. Another 26 has gone by. It's gone. So you see, when you don't move on and press on fast, and you keep doing spiritual politics, carrying people along, seeking for people's approval, you can't fulfill your ministry. You can't work for God. You can't serve God. When you keep thinking, what will this one say? What does this person think? What will this person say about me? What about my friend? What you see, the Bible says that God called Abraham alone. Have you read that verse before? Abraham was called alone. Alone he called Abraham. Yes, that's the verse. Look unto Abraham your father and unto Sarah that bear you, for I called him alone. He called him with who? With Sarah. He called him with Lot. He called him alone. Alone. Sometimes you see pastors introducing their wives like, this is a co-founder. Co-founder this, but you see, they talk as though they are Siamese twins. That when God was calling them, then they both stood up, sat up in bed, and God spoke to them, and then they both went back to bed. So, he surely calls alone. You were saved alone. Were you saved with your brother? Were you saved with your sisters? Were you saved with your friends? After you were saved, you met your friends in church. Even the day you were giving your life to Christ, the people that came to the front with you, you don't even know who they are. Yes. He saved you alone. How come now others are meddling with your salvation? And you permit it, you allow others to meddle. And to tell you what to do and what not to do. How to serve God and how not to serve God. Your zeal, your passion, your love for God is affected by the opinion and the contributions of men. And experiences of life. That's the scripture says that, what shall separate us from the love of God? What can separate us? Because there will be a lot of things that will try to separate you from the love of God. From loving God, from working for God. From moving with God. What should be able to separate you? Yes. Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, sword. What can separate us? Different things will be thrown at you in this life when it gets to a ministry. But you see, the day you don't feel like going to church on a Sunday. What's the day after Sunday? Monday. Yes. On Monday, you feel like going to work. How many of you know what I'm talking about? That no matter what you are going through, Monday you get up and go to work, or you get up and go for lectures. Then Sunday, it's like the same, under the same circumstances. It's like, Sunday I can't go to church. It should tell you something. It should tell you that what is at stake is your faith. Satan doesn't care where you work and how much you are earning. He probably doesn't care. What he cares about is your faith in God. That's what Paul wrote and said, fight the good fight of faith. Not fight the fight of 2-1 or first class. But the following morning you go for lectures. The same person that held you back from church releases you to go to school and to go to. But when it gets to church, then there's a battle. It should even make you more determined that this battle of church, I will win it. Pastor said, same if you feel you are the same person, nothing has changed. If you are broke on Sunday, most likely by Monday you are still broke. Isn't it? Yes. I mean, most likely by Monday you are still. If you are hungry on Sunday, most likely by Monday morning it's even worse. But you still dress up and go. Yes. If you are upset on Sunday, Monday when you wake up, you just sigh and say, but you have to go. You have to go and you still go. You still go to work, you still go to school. But then on Sunday you say, I won't go to church. Because that is the battleground. That's what Satan wants to prevent you from doing and from achieving. He wants to stop you from doing it. He wants to prevent you from going to church. Your faith, fight the good fight of faith. The fight we are fighting is a battle for faith, to keep the faith. That's what Paul wrote at the end. He said, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. That's like a slap in Satan's face, a slap. To say, on your dying bed, you can say, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith that you slapped him before you left the world. Because you see him again. Your last slap. May you give Satan the last slap. Yeah. Look. Say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. The faith in believing in God. The faith in fulfilling my ministry. The faith in working for God. I have kept it. I have kept the faith to the bitter end. I've kept the faith. God doesn't want you to keep the faith. Kept the faith. I still believe in God. I still trust in God. That's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. Read the story of Job and see what he went through and compare it to your 3 weeks of being unemployed. And ask yourself, when you finish reading about it, ask yourself, which one would you like? Would you like to be Job or would you like to be you? Let me, yet will I trust. What does that say? Can you still trust God? Will you still trust God? You see your ability to come to church and still sing for God is your trust in Him. Your ability to come to church and still usher is your trust in Him. Your ability to come to church and still dance. Do you think all these people are millionaires? They're dancing because they have no problems. If you have issues that you like God to solve, dancing stars. But you are the ones who are dancing. We're not the ones who are doing. We're the ones who are doing it over the line. It's like when you say that, don't they look so carefree? It's like there's no problem in the world. They start that they have a way of juggling their feet. Then they do. It's like there's no problem. I mean, if you said you have problem, you like God to solve. Yes, that's the battle. But because you have a problem, you won't dance. Satan will be so happy. He'll be so happy. But your trust in him and your faith in him is that as you are doing ulu blue, you are praising God in the midst of, you are still pursuing your ministry and your calling. Despite everything. You will never resign. You will never retire. Amen. You will never give up. Amen. You will never give up. Amen. You won't give up. Amen. You will serve him for 50 years. Amen. You will serve him for 70 years. Amen. You will serve him for 80 years. Amen. You see, some of you at this age, you have about 70 more years to live. Amen. You will live it in faith in God. Amen. Yes. Happily. Happily. Saying that, you know, I used to, you should never tell your children or your nieces or your nephews that what you're doing, I used to do it. They should come and meet you doing it. They should come and meet you doing it. Matching them boot for boot. 26 years ago, some of you were not born. How many of you were not born 26 years ago? Lift your hand up high, so the doubters will see. Yes. So it means that when I was appointed a pastor, while I was pastoring, you were not born. But you've grown up and you've come to meet me. And I am still in the tracks with you. Matching you. But I'm calling you, if you're a man, come. Let's serve God. Yes, by the grace of God. Yes, but you are not born, isn't it? You are not born. You are not born at all. I've read the Bible enough, heard enough teachings to understand the call of God, to be interested in the call of God, and to serve God before you are born. Yes. And you've come to meet me still preaching about what? Fulfill your ministry. Fulfill. Isn't it a blessing? That will be your story too.
Amen.
That will be your experience.
Amen.
I can't see my children, my nieces, nephews, and tell them, oh, you know what I do? I used to do it. No. 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 I had a niece visit us some time back. She looked at my life. She looked at my life, and then she asked me, she said, Uncle Richard, what work do you do? Do you have any job? Is that, do you have any job? Because she looked at my life, she didn't understand my life. She was living in my house. I was giving her breakfast, lunch, dinner every day. It's like she can't see a problem, but it's like his life is very mysterious. So what does he do? So she asked me, she called my name, she said, Uncle Richard. Yes. My children were telling me the other day, they were discussing among themselves. They said, they think daddy works for the Secret Service. Yes. It's like, that's their mind. It's like, because we don't understand what he's doing. We don't understand what he's doing. It's like, he's into the Secret Service. Yes. I'm in the army of the Lord on the Secret Service side. Yeah. Sit down. I don't know what made you stand, but you make it. Yes. So the big exciting thing in your Christianity is to fulfill your ministry. You have to fulfill your ministry. You have to fulfill your, keep your eyes on the ministry that I need to fulfill. Let nothing take you out of the ministry. And as you are in the ministry, be making progress, be climbing, going higher. And higher. And on the journey, see, I've been talking about the signposts that you see. At a point, there will be separation. I've been separated from many people. Many. What is it mean? Not demons. Not demons. Not drunkards. Not even fornicators. Good people. Good people. But their aim in life is different from my aim. You see, separating from bad people, it's like going to kindergarten and learning alphabet. It's something that, it's not even a discussion. But as you advance and you go higher, even if you follow the teachings of Jesus, you follow the teachings of Jesus, and he's teaching about proton. Have you heard the word proton? It's a word called proton, which means first. First. When Jesus is talking about first things, things that have to be put first, you will see that most of the things he talked about that you have to do first are the options or the alternative to the thing that has been done first is another good thing. It's not between good and bad. It's between two good options. Which one do you choose? Two good options. Giving an offering to God. One of them is giving an offering to God. You've come to church. It's offering time. Giving an offering to God. Making a sacrifice to God. And then going to your brother to resolve a problem. Which one do you do first? These are the discussions Jesus has. Which one do you do first? Which one? Offering. And then he says that, and you know your brother has ought against you. That is, not that you even have something against someone, but you know that somebody is not happy with you. He said, leave thy gift. First, go to your brother. Go and solve the issue. When you are finished, come. That's Jesus. Forgiveness and giving offerings, are they not two good things? Yes. But one comes before the other. So as you move higher in the things of the spirit, the discussions and the debates and the battles are not about, fornication and virginity. Or love your wife and hate your wife. These are not the things that are at stake. Or be kind to your husband, be kind to your husband, and be wicked to your husband. These are not the options. These kind of topics and things are like for babies, baby Christians. But as you move on, the discussion is not about stop fornication and be serious with God. That's a baby Christian. Stop watching pornography. Stop lying. Stop the masturbation. It means that you've been left behind and you are being left behind. It's not about what's going on between you and that brother. Be your pastor for all this. I was last time I asked you was, what is it between you and that girl? Be there. Make full proof of your ministry. I'm going to call you and discuss that. You and that sister. Look, you and that sister. If you love God, those things will disappear. Yeah. I had a tree that I thought was a beautiful plant growing in front of my front door. It was coming up and I really liked it. It looked very nice to me. When it's shaped round, like they're sitting there, it's very admirable. One day I heard a knock on my front door. When I opened it, it was my good old neighbor who I've been telling you a lot of stories about. Yes. He came and he asked me. He said, Richard, do you know what plant this is? I said, oh, no, but it's nice. I really like it. Then he said, no. Then he pointed across the road. He said, have you seen that tree? Tall tree. I mean, huge, massive tree. He said, that is it. He said, if you leave it, the roots, he said, even by now, the roots have spread. It's getting to under the house. He said, it will destroy your building. It's not in a good place. So I said, look, I really like this tree. He said, no, you can't like it where it is. You can't like it. So I said, so what do I do? He said, I'll show you a way of killing it. He said, we have to kill it. I said, are you sure we'll kill it? I said, can't we keep it short? He said, no, we have to kill it. I said, okay, I'll cut it off. He said, no, when you cut it, it will grow again. And as it's growing, the roots are spreading. So we have to kill it. Then he showed me a strategy of killing it. He said he has a special mixture, a concoction. So he brought the concoction. And he said, we have to put it at the roots. And he said, we'll watch it and see. So we put the concoction at the roots. He said, don't worry, just relax, just look at it. I was there and I saw the leaves of my beautiful tree withering and falling off. Withering and falling off. You see, when the point I'm making to you, in case you've forgotten the point I'm making, is that there are some things. If the roots are killed, the leaves will die. Yes. If there's a genuine conversion in your life, some things will disappear from your life. It will just disappear like that. No struggle. No struggle. It will just go. No struggle, no talking. Plenty talking doesn't change a lot of things. How many of you agree that plenty talking has not changed you? It didn't change you. The threats, the this, it didn't change you. You rather hid than did it. I advised a brother once about social media, Facebook and whatever. Look, if you all not have all these things because of certain difficulties he has in his life. But see, after I gave that advice, and I said to someone that, do you know what he would do? The expression I use is, he will go underwater. And I said, so I have dived under the water. I'm sitting under the water and I've crossed my legs like a statue of Buddha and I'm waiting for him there. He'll come there. And do you know what I mean by under the water? I said, he's going to close this account that I know him as. And he's going to create another name and stay on. I mean, so as soon as I finished, I dived under the water. I went with a stool because I don't know when he'll come. So I fixed my stool in the sand under there. And I sat there and I crossed my legs and I put my cheeks on my palm like that. And I was waiting, when will he come? First I was there, I was admiring the life of the fish under the water. They were swimming, different colors, different shapes, different sizes. Even a shark came by, it sniffed my cheeks and then it just, I saw a hammer nose shark. I saw a bull shark, different types of sharks came. And I was there like that. I didn't move. When I see a shark, I don't move. I become still. I'll be thinking in my head. I can't speak, so I'll be thinking in my head, in the name of Jesus, go away. Then one day, who appeared? The brother. There he was. There he was. When I saw him, I said, no, I've been here for a long time. I can't wait for you to come. I just stood up and said, hey, I've been expecting you. I knew you would do this. But he said, meanwhile, the advice is to help him. But he thought, you know, this old man, he doesn't know things. I'm going underwater. Underwater? No problem. You are not converted. If you're converted, if you have the Holy Spirit, some things would have died in you. Would have gone out of you long time ago. May you be healed from every struggle that you have. So anyway, you know, I haven't started my message for today. I've just been talking to you about making foolproof of your ministry. I've just been talking to you because I need to talk to you. Yes, I need to talk to you. Yes, that you need to make foolproof of your ministry. You need to serve God. You need to serve God. You need to work for God. You need to make God your focus. And see, that's what he said, Matthew 6:33, the words of Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And all these things, all the other things that you've been looking for, what have you been looking for? What are you looking for? What are you looking for? Husband, it will be added to your life. Where can you get a good husband? It's when you are in the kingdom of God. Do you want to go outside to go and get somebody there? It's inside. Be serious. You see, when you are serious, that's when a serious person will see you. So you don't even know how people see each other. One of my surprises in being a pastor is when I discover whose friend is who. Yeah. You don't even know how they become friends. But usually friends have the same character. They're usually the same. You're quiet, you're thinking. Because everybody likes to think that I'm better than my friend or I'm different. Or what my friend is doing, I won't do it. No, if you won't do what your friend is doing, you'd have separated by now. Because you would have gone for it and said, look, Jack, stop. If the person doesn't stop, that's it, it's over. But you're still together. It means you are very tolerant of the person's lifestyle. And you are saying to yourself that you are not like that. You are like that. You approve of it. I'm giving you food for thought, isn't it? Give you things to think about. Are your eyes open? Yes, keep them open as I'm preaching. Keep them open. Don't listen with your eyes shut, okay? Don't listen. Keep them open and hear. And hear the word. Hear the word as it comes. Are your eyes wide open? Can you see me? Okay. Now that they are open, I can continue preaching. Yes. Beautiful. So, on this beautiful journey of fulfilling your ministry, there's one more signpost. Maybe two, if you are lucky. Because next week, we'll start talking about something else. So today, I want to, you know, wrap it up. Are you happy for a wrapping up? Yes. But you should become very serious, strong believers. Don't be so affected by your weaknesses and your little areas. areas that you have failed at or you couldn't overcome. Don't be affected by that. Focus on the fact that you can serve God, that you can work for God. When you trip one, go wild for Jesus. There's all that. When you find yourself there, the sin that does so easily beset you, there's a sin like that. The sin that doth so easily beset us. There's some things that if it's thrown at you, you can't resist it. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You rather it doesn't come. But when it's thrown at you, you can't say no. It's like some foods. When it's given to you, you can't say no. You can't say no. You look at it, you say no. And the person says, are you sure? Is he also... Welcome from Ghana. Seamus is in love with Killiwili. That's fried plantain. We've baptized him into Ghana now. Yeah. Look, I was on a flight once, and I was determined that I won't eat. I mean, I don't want any of your things. Just tea. Then this air hostess, I don't know who appointed her. She made herself like my mother on the flight. She keeps going and coming with different options. And everything, it was easy for me. I said, no, I don't want. Then she came back at a point that, look, there's this thing. It is very nice. She has not mentioned what it is. You really like it. The flight is long. You haven't had anything at all. You can't. I mean, and she said, we have about 6 more hours to go. You must have something. And she was standing by my chair. Then she asked me, Mr. Airy, do you want to know what I have for you now? I won't tell you what it was. But she mentioned the thing. You see, all this, I was looking straight. I wasn't looking at her. When she mentioned it, I went like that. With a smile on my face, with a smile. And she said, I've got you. I've got you. I've got you. And I said, no problem. Bring it. As she was going there, she turned. Do you want cream on it? And I said, add everything you can add to it. Add everything to it and bring it. Do you know that this mommy air hostess brought it? She didn't leave. She found something to talk about whilst I was eating. Just chatting. Just as I was about to take the last few spoons of it, she said, I think a second one would do, isn't it? And she went. Before I could say anything, she had left. And she came back and said, just have it. Just have it. Just have a second one. And I gave her this one. And I took that one. And she attempted for the third one. I said, now you're pushing it. Now you're pushing it. But at least she got me to take 2 portions. Yes. You see, there are some things that you can, but it doth so easily. But you see, when that thing happens to you, should in case, the thing that you haven't developed much resistance for, you fall at it. When you get up, because you will get up. Amen. I said, you will get up. Amen. When you get up, do 7 things for God. That should always be your response. Any day you fall, God forbid that you should fall. But when you fall, when you get up, do 7 wild things for God. So when you fall one, it's like you're even back. You've gained 6 steps. So you fall back 1, 6. Then you do 7. That puts you in the 13th box. Then you drop again in the 13th box. Means you've come to the 12th. You do 7, it takes you to 19. So you see, you are moving every time. You are moving and you are advancing. Not that when you get up in the 6th, then you sit there and you cry. Then another thing happens, then you go back. Now you're in the 5th. Then you're in the 4th. No, when you rise up, God is not against you. God is still for you. God is still on his side. Do wild things for God. Wild. And keep advancing in the faith. You will advance in the faith. Amen. And you will do well in the faith. Amen. So, today, I need to give you a sign, isn't it? Yes. There's time. You know, this church, there's a lot of time. Mm-hmm. The next signpost that you would see that you need to pay attention to is obey your specific call. Yes, your specific call, obey it, because there's a specific calling to you. There's a ministry, there's a job, there's something that God has specially assigned to you, Aisha, to you, Anna, to you, Kingsley, Ken, to you, Dolly, to you, Claudia, and to you, who?
Logos.
Wow. What a prophecy. Logos. Logos and Rima. Mm-hmm. It's been assigned to you. Obey that specific call. Don't think Claudia is doing your work for you. It's your work. Yes. Don't think so. Don't think somebody is doing something for you. As I'm standing here preaching, moving up, don't say to yourselves that, oh, our pastor is powerful. Yes, your pastor is powerful, but your pastor is edging you on to become powerful too. You also become powerful.
Amen.
Don't you want to be powerful?
Yes.
It's too late. You'll be powerful. Romans chapter 1 and verse 1. Obey your specific call. Obey it. Romans 1 and verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, or called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. This is how you should be introducing yourself. This should be your introductions in life. Instead of mentioning your degrees, or emphasizing that you are Mrs., or adding where you work, this should be your life. This should be your testimony. Paul, when you mention it, you say, Logos, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. There's no ambiguity about it. This is me. This is who I am. This is my work. This is my life. This is what I live for. This is what I'm going to live for. A servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. A servant of Jesus Christ. I remember when Princess Diana died. One of the people that became popular was her butler. Yes. A servant of Princess Diana. It's a very, very, very important office to have. I'm sure a lot of people would like to have that job. You don't want to say whether you like it or not. I like the expression on your face. It's just like, Sophia thinking, the money will be good, but, you know, I don't like, it's like I don't like the way you're describing it, but. And I'm sure you're still thinking about that. I'll be in the palace. I'll get to see her private life. I'll see things, I'll know things. Because some of you like to know things and to see things, isn't it? You like stories. Yes. He became important because everybody felt he knew a lot of things. He has stories. I'm sure if he writes a book, did he write a book? He wrote a book. Why not? Clever boy. But a servant of Jesus Christ, then called to a particular office, a specific office. You're not saved by chance. You're not just saved to walk around. You are called into an office. You are called, it's called the call of God. You've been called to do something definite and clear for God. Your salvation is a calling. God is calling you. He's drawing you. He has something definite and specific for you to do. Mm-hmm. I told you my first office in church was what? Ushering, yes. I ushered for one Sunday. I really admire those who usher for a while. I just did for one Sunday. I said, look, I don't think this is my calling. Yeah. I said, no, this is not my calling. I can't. Jonah, chapter 1. Wow. After this, I'll tell you a couple of things about the call of God. Then we move on. And make sure you obey your specific call. Your specific call. Make sure you obey. Make sure you find your ministry in the church and fulfill it and do it. See, did I say Jonah chapter 1? Jonah chapter 1 verse 1 says that now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying. So you see, you have to pay attention to the word of God, because you are not even in this church by mistake. It's God who has placed you here to speak to you and for you to hear what you are hearing. In different churches today, people are hearing different things. Different things, different messages. Here you are. God has brought you here, and you are hearing about make full proof of your ministry on a Sunday afternoon, not at a shepherd's camp. Sunday service, make full proof of your ministry. That's the diet you are being fed on. That's the diet. Were you the one? Okay, you're not the one that I told change your diet. Because if you want to do well in the ministry, you have to change your diet. It's like life. If you want to either lose weight or put on weight, depending on what challenge you have, you change your diet. Yes. You have to change your diet. You see the effect soon. In ministry, you have to change what you feed on so that you can grow in the Lord. Because there's milk, there's strong meat, and there's shoe bread. Yeah. Shoe bread is for priests. That's makane. Makane is shoe bread. Yeah. Those who feed on makane, they are different from those who feed on podcast. Sunday morning preachings. They are two different people. It's a diet. Makane is a diet. It's different from podcast, Sunday morning listeners. No. Makane eaters. No. They are strong. They are anointed. And then readers, people who read. People who read are also another crop of people. So here, the word of the Lord came, saying, verse 2, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it. You see, God is always looking for people to speak on his behalf and to say things. You are going to say something that everybody is not saying, and everybody doesn't want to say it. He said, go and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. That's what I'm saying. You see, if you love God, you would have cried to your friend, and maybe that would have cost you your relationship, because you would have heard from God, a conviction from God, that tell your friend to change. But you haven't told your friend to change. You know, there are things about your friend to change. So you are the same. Wow. Verse 3. But Jonah rose up to flee from Tarshish. Instead of going to what God says, he's going to do something else. To flee from Tarshish. To flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. You see, there are some places where you are, when you are there, you are in the presence of the Lord. That means that when you're in the presence of someone, you hear the person's voice. You even feel the person's breath. You can even smell the whatever on the person. Perfume, body odor, whatever. You smell it, isn't it? And you can see, you feel the person's presence. You know what the person wants. Depending on where you are. Where you are. You know, sometimes you run away from your parents. How many of you have avoided your parents before? You saw that you avoided them. Yes. You avoided them. Because you know when you are with them, it's more work. Especially when you're with mommy, isn't it? Do this. Go here. Do this. Do that. Get this. Have you done this? Have you done that? Yes. So you avoid. You sound like you pretend to sleep. How many of you have pretended to be asleep before? You pretended that you are asleep. And meanwhile, your eyes were twitching. Yes. Because when you are not asleep and you pretend to be asleep, your eyes twitch. Because your eyeballs are moving. Yes. It's different when you're asleep. So you can't pretend to be asleep. Unless the person that is coming for you doesn't know the difference. Because the person has to come and see. Sometimes even the person has to come and count. When I'm with you, you pretend to be asleep. Oh, when I come there, I just come and stand next to you. And I will say one, two. This is always the reaction. You best start laughing. You start laughing. I'll just say one. I'll not even get to two. You say you are laughing. Because you can hear everything. If you're asleep, you can't hear anything. You don't hear anything. Yeah. Children tell me that when they tell that they've injured, when they were younger, that they've injured their foot or something. So it's like they can't move. Or they say, I wait when they are in bed, when they are asleep. Then I go and hold that too. Because if you are asleep and you are in pain, you will react. I hold him. I say that, no, there's no reaction. I shift the toe a bit. Say, you said this toe is in pain. Yes, if you're not reacting. A couple of times it was real. When I said, then it twitched. That's the toe. The thing is real. Then I just leave it. But usually you say the toe that the person in the morning has been. That he. I don't want to go to school today. I don't think I can go to school. I wait. When they're in bed, I go and hold it. She said, no, this person, tomorrow you wear shoes and go. You have to go. There's nothing wrong with you. What do I say? Yeah, from the presence of the Lord. So there are places that the presence of the Lord is there. The presence of the Lord. When you don't like some place, don't like some churches, don't like some messages. Because when the message is coming inside, the message is very convicting. It makes you uncomfortable. That's the presence of the Lord. That's the presence of the Lord. So when you start running away from you are behaving like Jonah. You are running away from your calling. If God was to meet you, what would he say to you? What would he say? What would he do? What would he tell you to do? What type of discussions will God have with you? When you read your Bible and see the things he says in the Bible, and the Bible is even being, if I'm just reading the Bible to you today, what will God be saying to you? So when you are in his presence, what will you hear? Hey. It's serious, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So he fled. He fled from a city. Because there is the Lord's presence. So he's going away from his presence. And he went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. His whole aim is that I'm going away from where I can hear the voice of God, where I can hear the call of God, when I can hear instructions from God. I'm moving away from that place, away from it, away, away from it. Because when you're in the presence of God, you feel the convictions, you feel the directions, you are quiet. It's like it makes you think. You see, you are thinking. How many of you are thinking this morning? It makes you think. You are not shouting and jumping and skipping. You are thinking. Because you are hearing things that troubleth a man. There are some things you wouldn't like to ask anything about because you know the answer, isn't it? How many of you know that? There are some things you wish you could ask, but you don't want to ask. Yes. And sometimes it's disturbing. You're making a choice and you wish you could ask that, what should I do? But you don't want to ask because you know the answer and you are not comfortable with the answer. So you avoid the presence or that topic. You avoid it. Because you know if you ask, it will be affirmed and confirmed to you. The little voice in your heart. So you don't ask at all. You don't ask at all. You don't say anything. Sometimes in relationships, you know what will be said, so you don't ask. You don't ask anybody about it. How many of you have done it before? Okay, not you. Wait. How many of you know somebody, including yourself, who has done it before? Yes. You know that. No. This really, if I go for counseling on this relationship, it won't work. Let me just glide in it. Let me glide. By the time they find out, I'm there. If everybody has my mind, when do we discover you are in? No, nothing will be said. Be in. There are a lot of teachers in this world. You didn't know that. There are a lot of teachers. The wind is a teacher. Time is a teacher. Shakings of life will teach you a lot of things. Oh, yeah. My sister was telling me recently, she said, because I was commending her for something. And then she said, she's surprised because that day, when she was telling me that thing, my response confused her. She felt she was doing the wrong thing, but she was doing the right thing. But to check whether she was sure, I asked her questions as though I'm against what she's doing. And she still stuck to it. So later, about a year after, I gave her a pat on the back and I said, well done. She was shocked. She was like, well done. But that day when I was telling you, you confused me. Yeah. There are many teachers. Don't worry. Hide with whatever you are doing. There are many teachers. I'm not there. Your pastors are not the only teachers. Neither are your pastors against you. Who is against happiness? I want you to be happy. One of my dreams is to have about 3, 4, 5 weddings every Saturday. Yes, I'll be hopping from wedding to wedding, officiating and blessing. Just check the times and make sure that yours is what? The first or the last? Which one? The first. Yes, the first. But don't worry about hiding relationship. Hide. I will tell you. Look, hide. Don't hide. There are many teachers in this life. There are plenty teachers. Plenty things teach. Plenty. Soon you even start teaching each other. Yeah. Plenty things are teachers in this life. Like you're in school, you don't go for lectures? No problem. No problem. No problem. I said what? No problem. No problem at all. Something is waiting for you at another end. That thing is it's a more wicked teacher. More wicked teacher. More wicked. That thing that's waiting for you. He's a very wicked, wicked guy. You can't even talk to him. You can't even negotiate or say anything. You're too in bed when your parents call you, then have you seen that boy who was on the beach with his friend and his mom called him and then he raised some black blanket and had a pillow and put his hand on his neck. And he said, mommy, I'm in bed. It's like when you look at it, it's like he's actually in bed, but he was standing on the beach and his friends were holding the blanket behind him. He had a white pillow. He's put his hand on his neck. He's dying. But he said, no problem. If his mom is my friend, I'll tell his mom that don't worry. There's another teacher. There's another teacher. When he comes, you can't even FaceTime him. He doesn't even talk. He brings results. He brings results and he walks away. You don't even know his name. Maybe his name is Time. Run away from the presence. You can't run away from the call. Don't run away from the call of God. Because the call of God is there. Love God. Follow him. Obey him. Obey him. It may be difficult. The road may be hard and rough. But stay with it. Stay with it. You see, sometimes you see people, they say they want to defer a course. The reason why I've never been someone who says, yes, defer a course. Because when you defer it, you will come back and meet it. Have you thought about it before? I mean, if you defer, don't feel bad. Defer. But what I'm saying is that I'm just sharing with you my wisdom and my understanding. You say, I'm taking time off. I'm taking time off this. Whatever you take time off, when you come back, it's not any easier or better or simpler. You still come and start from where you left off. Because showing people tell that deferring. I say, are you sure? Do you want to? I don't think you should. I rather think you should finish. Just finish. Drag yourself through and finish. Drag yourself through and finish. Don't say, oh, I'll come back later. No, when you come back, if you leave off at stage 3, when you come back, it's not that you're going to start from stage 5. You'll still be at stage 3. It will still be waiting for you. So when you run away from the call, talking, it's still waiting for you. When you come back, you have to start from where you left off. You have to start from. So rather, the road is going to be hard and rough before it gets any smooth. So why don't you clear the hard and rough part? Clear it now. Clear it. Because it will be there. It will be there. If you wait 70 years, it will still be good. That's a starting point. It will still be there. No matter how old you are, if you want to learn a language, you have to learn the alphabet. No matter how old you are, you still have to learn. You have to know the alphabet. What are the things that are in this language? How is it written? What do you put together? What am I pronouncing? What am I saying? It's still there. You have to learn it. Answer the call and obey the call early, and fast. A couple of things about the call of God. You know the story of Jonah? You know his end, isn't it? If you don't know, you use the book of Jonah for your quiet time this week. Read through. It's very exciting. Many things you learn. One, the call of God is a door through which you enter ministry. You want to enter the ministry? You must have responded to the call of God before you can do the ministry. It's the door. It's the point of entry into the ministry. Two, if God has called you, shout and jump for joy. Yes. Because when a young man proposes to a lady, she will shout and dance. And so she got him. And so when she knows others who want. Sisters, isn't it? Yes. Sisters like the guy that others want. Yes. Yeah. They usually like that battle. Those are sometimes you see when they are in, there's nobody, there's no problem. Then they imagine that somebody wants. So they start creating problems. Especially the insecure, deep, melancholic-like ones. They imagine things. So you see, there's nobody even likes. But I think for them to feel that I have something good, they create a problem that somebody likes. Like, it's like, why are you talking to her? You like her? This, like, it's like, I think it makes sense. It makes them feel good that I'm not the only one who likes. Others also like. I don't know. That's what I think. Three. Don't call yourself. Be sure that you are called. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse Number four, don't call yourself. Don't give yourself a position. Say, I'm an apostle. Yeah, don't call yourself. The call, you see, the call of God is a real thing. Don't force yourself to call when God hasn't called you. So, Mr. Bishop, how would you know when you are called? Read the book, Many Are Called. That's my answer. Look, and no man taketh this honor unto himself. That's the honor of standing in the ministry and working for God and serving God. No man takes it unto himself. It's not like a wig. I was thinking that what do people just take unto themselves? Like wigs. Yeah. Wigs, dresses can suit you or not suit you. Yes. Some wigs makes you look older. Some dressing also makes you look older. Some wigs make you look younger. Some wigs make you look your age. Some hairstyles make you look your age. Some hairstyles make you look younger. Some dressing, the way you dress a certain way, it makes you look a certain way. Mm-hmm. You look a certain way. So that it makes you look seductive. Nothing spiritual. Nothing spiritual. So when we see you, any serious person will say, no, this girl is not serious at all. At all. At all. This is a serious Christian sister. When we see you, so when you are ministering, you're in public ministry, we shouldn't feel like a female is a person ministering. That femaleness must be hidden. But you still look nice. You still look nice. You still look attractive. But your femaleness is not there. People shouldn't be looking at you and be predicting the size of your bust. It's just your dressing. And it's how unspiritual you are. Should I go deeper? I should stop here. I can go, I can also stop. Yes. There are measurements for ladies. There are three levels. You mention what? You say someone's what? 20, 24, 29. Or 2. Is it 3 or 2? 3. What's the top one for? Bust. And then the next one is what? Waist. And then what? And then hips. Yes. Yes. So BWH. Yes. And there are figures for it, isn't it? Figures for it. Like 34 DD, 26, and 45. Hey, what human being is that? So when you're a lady in public ministry and you stand there, that shouldn't be the striking thing about you, that this is 34 DD, 20 what? 26, and then what? 45. No. Why should we see that you are 45? You should even deceive us. You should deceive us. We shouldn't notice. We shouldn't feel it. The emphasis shouldn't be on you. If you're a lady, ever you want to be in ministry, always remember that they shouldn't feel that this is a woman. And the same for the guys. Have you seen some guys, when you see, as soon as you see them, it's like, yes. Like, they even dress, it's like, no, that is not what church is about. Though it looks nice, we'll be praising you, you know, we'll be saying nice about you, but in their minds, like, no, when will this guy grow out of these things? That even if you have it, even if you have, when we see, we should see ministry, we should see oil, we should see anointing, we should see your love for God. Your love for God. Not forever describing you as the guy with muscles. Do you know muscles? Muscles, muscles. I know it's muscles, but I'm saying muscles. Then you wear things in a way that we can see. Is mine moving? Is it moving? It doesn't move. I tried to move, it didn't move. Look at Tinashe too, he's trying.
It's the same. Try and be public means try and be a God person. A God person. A God person. Not a physical person. Those you are describing. 34, 26, 45. Because there are people with appetite for it. I was just standing there. Yeah. But they're also a type of person. You cover it. You wear long tops.
Now it's getting serious. Let's go back to Hebrews 5 and verse 4. And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. It's something that you take upon yourself. God gives it to you. Patiently wait for God to give it to you. That's the call of God. Don't appoint yourself. Don't suddenly tell us that you've been a dancing star. It's enough. Now you're an apostle. No. You see, that's almost like wizardry. We had a brother once. He called his friend from work. His friend was at work. He called his friend that God has come upon him. He should come home quickly. He should come to where he is very quickly before, because God has given him a message for him. This is, you're like a fetish priest. Not even on a Sunday. Like a Monday or Wednesday, you're sitting. The brother said when he got to the house, he was sitting there. It's like, God is still here. Do you know the message that he said God had for his friend? He said, from today, I'm your pastor. Is it not madness? It's madness, spiritism. Voodoo. I think it's madness. I think you're not well. You're not well. To call you that God has come. I mean, do you have your quiet time? Have you read your Bible? God has come. God is in flat number 38. Whatever street. Come there. It's like God has called you on the phone. He said, I'm here. Come to this. I have a message for you. Then he runs. He goes. He's sitting there. He's been waiting for him. He's waiting for him with his girlfriend, both of them. I don't know if the girlfriend was fanning him, was fanning God. So he's sitting there. And his girlfriend was standing by. He said, God is here. From today, I am your pastor. You see, he should have slapped him to wake him up. Slap him. Or lay hands on him to cast out the devil. As he's sitting with his girlfriend, most likely after bouts of fornication, he's pastor is no longer your pastor. I am your pastor. Have you heard? I am your pastor. Have you heard? Most likely it's a mental problem. Though it sounds, dramatic, but most likely it's a mental problem. So there could be people out there
who are saying that they are separating themselves and say, we are God. But they have mental problems. And you can tell from their preachings and things that, no, this person, what was he even talking about? What's he even saying? But when you are naive and simple-minded, don't read your Bible, you can follow such a, you can easily follow such a person. But he has behavioral challenges. Anyway, I'm saying to you that don't appoint yourself. The next thing you need to know is that no one else has your calling. If you read Jonah to the end, you will see that whatever he did, God was still waiting for him. God said, I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. I'm waiting for you. The whale swallowed, you come out of the whale, you still have to finish your ministry. I'm waiting for you. Keith Green, do you know Keith Green? You know Keith Green? How many of you don't know Keith Green? You don't know Keith Green. Okay, Keith Green is a singer, he's a gospel singer who died many years ago. One of the things, his songs are very spiritual and very anointed. Yeah. So if you don't know him, find all his songs and start playing. It will help you. Change your diet. Yes, change your diet. You see, when you are happy, or when you want to be happy, you know, when you want to be happy and dance, and you've cooked some nice meal, yeah, you want to celebrate your food. That's when you play the songs that Dancing Stars uses. Yes. Yeah. They are Christian songs, they are nice songs, they are good songs. But when you make some nice food that you want to, you know, celebrate, dance around us. It's still on, it's not cooked yet. That's why you stand behind your cooker, you do. You just use it to wait for the food to cook. Yes. But in your real eating and feeding times, go for either life. Yes. To feed, change your diet. And then Keith Green. Then Tommy Walker. Don Moen. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When you're waiting for your food, what do? There you do. Yes. That means that your food is cooking. For happiness, it's happiness. It's also happiness. It's happiness. You have to be happy. You can't always be serious. Who is serious all the time? Who is serious? You have to be happy. Why? So, Keith Green. I'll tell you about Keith Green. Keith Green said, the responsibility of this generation lies with this generation of Christians. The salvation. Do you want me to read the exact words? I'll read the exact words for you. Hold on. Are you still here? Are you here?
Yeah.
You haven't left me.
No.
Are you planning on leaving me?
No.
Don't leave. This is what he said, where are you, Keith Green? Where are you, Keith? Yes, he said, this generation of Christians are responsible for this generation of souls on the earth. Yeah. It is our responsibility to win the souls in our generation. It's our responsibility. You can't just live and pass through and expect somebody to come and do your work for you. It's our work. It's our duty. Your calling is your responsibility. Nobody will do it for you. There are souls only you can win. Yeah. Only you can lead them to Christ. Only you can bring them into church. Only you can establish them in church. Only you, just you. Just you. You know, look at it this way. You see your time, those of you who have graduated, your time is spent in uni. 3 years, 4 years. Those 3 years, you are responsible for the souls that were around within those 3 years. Yes. So can you see how it has ended, how it ended very fast? You started before it's over. And sometimes you look back and you wish you had witnessed to someone. How many of you have ever wished that you had witnessed to someone? Yeah. You wish you had. You wish you said something to the person. Your neighbor. Your coursemate. your friend, are responsible for it. So only you can fulfill your calling. Only you. It's not to be shared. It's not something that you can share. I'm the only one who can do what I have to do. Small portion has been given to me. I'm the one who has to do it. It is hardly ever, if ever, a group thing. Number five, your call is without repentance. Jonah 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. It's like, go and do what I ask you to do. Go and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. You see, the call of God always goes with a message. God always has a message. A message, work for the Lord. If you've been around for a while, you say the message here is like, work for the Lord. Do the work of the ministry. Answer the call. Be a shepherd. Be a leader in the church. Work for God. Work for God. Work for God. Even though we know today is your first time, but you'll be hearing, work for God. We know there'll be first timers, but we're still talking about make full proof of your ministry. There's a message. We can't say next week. I don't know where you'll be next week. Yeah. There's a message. He's saying to them that go, he's saying to him that go to that great city and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. The preaching that I bid thee. Is it usually one of the things you have to always tell yourself is that any position or any opportunity you have to do something, always remember that you are someone's replacement. Someone has refused to do something. That's how come you've got a chance. That's how you've got a chance to do it. You're not the original. So when you become difficult, know that you can be replaced. Yeah. What you've refused to do, or you've been dragging your feet to do, you see someone else is doing it happily. 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 Sometimes it's very amazing that the thing that you do unto someone is doing happily. The person finds such a privilege, a great blessing. I've got the chance to do it. Wow. Even you take the church that you are in now, the pastors you see are not my first choice. They're not the first set of pastors that I've worked with. If you've been around for a while, they're not the first set. But they are the happiest bunch. But they're not the first set. Others have been given that chance before. Today's message is really making you calm and cool, isn't it? Yeah. I'm serving you with steak, not yogurt. I'm serving you with steak. Not yogurt that you can lick away. You have to chew and swallow and take to make a while before you can cut the next one. So it's not the first set of people. Wow. Wahoozy. Wahooza. Jelly, 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 jelly. Finally, on this journey is go on your mission. Go on your mission. Jeremiah 1:7. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. So, in conclusion, go where
you are sent to go and preach what you've been told to preach. Simple. Go on your mission. To fulfill the ministry, go on your mission. Go on your mission. Even if it's one leg, go with one leg. One eye, go with one eye. One arm, go with one arm. Go on your mission. And when you go where you've been asked to go and preach what you've been told to preach. Never stand in your center or church or whatever you have and preach economics or finance. Preach what you've been told to preach. Go where you've been sent to go. Because it's not everybody who has been sent. Look at the person next to you. You'd be surprised the person next to you has not been sent anyway. The burden and the discomfort you are having now as I'm preaching. You say, somebody else is not having it at all. He's even laughing as I'm preaching. It's like, hey, people are struggling. So someone has been sent and they haven't gone. Because he is free. Do what you have to do. You've got to do it. You've got to go where you have to go and preach what you have to preach. And the preaching is Jesus and how he died for our sins. Go where you have to go. Preach what you've got to preach. We've not been called to preach about whether Jesus was a black man or a white man or a green man or a brown man or a purple man. I don't even understand how you get into such debates. Preach Jesus and how he shed his blood for our sins. Whether the blood came out of a green man, it was blood. It's the blood, that's the important thing. What effect does the color of Jesus have to do with our salvation? Have you seen useless? Useless? Bible says avoid useless questions. Useless debates. Avoid it. Foolish ones, avoid it. Sometimes you can be walking in some places and some bearded people will want to stop you to enter into debate. And then you also have time to stop and to argue. Then you realize that you are not prepared for the argument. It's the blood that matters. That's the message. You can't solve everything. Can you solve everything? Why do you want to tell us that you can solve everything? You have an answer for everything. Do you have an answer for everything? I don't have an answer for everything. Do you have an answer for everything? So why do you want to find an answer for everything? Wow. Well, you see, avoid foolish questions. Avoid it. There are some questions that are foolish questions. Foolish questions. What color was Jesus? It's a foolish question. You'd rather if you ask me what color was his blood, then can his blood save me or not? What is color? Beautiful. Here ends my series. Make full proof of your ministry. Make full proof of it. Work for God. Serve God. Answer the call. Answer the specific call. Answer it. Do it. It's not a team job. My calling is not for me and my wife. No. Neither is it for me and the pastors. No. It's me. My calling is me. It's me. I have to be fulfilling my calling and following God and doing his work. That's why if you stand in my way, no matter you have 6 double-decker buses, 12 buses, and I'll move it. As I'm coming, I'll be telling you, clear off. Clear off. I'm not changing course. Clear off. If you don't clear off, you will disappear. Yeah. I said to one group once, I said to them, watch me move on. You will see my backside. You see that I'm going. I said, watch me. Watch me moving on. Wow. Your friends have to see you moving on in serving God and working for God and laboring for Him and fulfilling the call, fulfilling the work, saving souls, winning souls. A lot of you have to become center leaders. Preach it. Don't worry about who is not a center leader. Don't worry about those people. Do what you have to do. We have to become center leaders with congregations, preaching, souls being saved. Don't worry about who is not. Yes, that shouldn't bother you. That shouldn't bother you at all. Move on in saving souls and winning souls and establishing souls, establishing them, teaching them all the things that Jesus taught us, teaching them. That should be your heart cry. Don't worry about who is not. I don't know how to tell you to stand up. That's why I keep talking. But because I finished my preaching about 3 minutes ago. So would you like to stand up so that we pray? Go where you've been asked to go and preach what you've been told to preach. Wow. What prayer do you want to pray today? God help you to fulfill your ministry, isn't it? Yes. Pray. You see, look at me before you pray. Look at me. I want to say something to all of you today. Can you see me? Let me stand on this thing so you can see me, because you can't see me. Can you see me? Can you see me now? Look at me. Look at me. Are you looking at me? Are you looking at me or walking away from me? Look at me. Can you see all the problems you've had? All the problems. How many of you have had problems? Challenges. How many of you have had failures? You have failed in some things. Yes. Look at me. None of those things are part of the marking scheme. In the marks you get from Jesus. None of it. So it means that none of those things should determine whether you are called or not. Are you looking at me? Can you hear me? None of the points that you tripped at or you fell should disqualify you. You are not disqualified. God is still waiting for you to answer the call. Read about Jonah. He ran away. He said he's running from the presence of God. A whale was waiting for him, swallowed him. He stayed in the whale's belly for 3 days, 3 nights. He came out. When he came out, God said, look, just go and do your work, okay? Just go and do your work. So some of you, you've been through places. You've been through things. You've been through ups and downs. There's a song like that, isn't it? You've been through ups and downs. And then what do you do? The song that you will do this. Huh? Pain and tears. You've been through pain and tears. And you've been through what? You've had what? Ups and downs. Yes. When you finish, God is waiting and saying that. Look, when you go, I don't know whether you go up first or you come down, you go down and then you go up. Whichever way you do it. Pain and tears. Wipe your tears. When you finish, God is saying, hey. Go where I said you to go and preach what I've told you to preach. He's waiting for you. Your ups and downs doesn't determine your call or not. It's God who determines it. It's God who determines it. So before you pray, I want you to have this on mind that it's not over for you. It's not. Some of you have not even started. It's not over for you. There's nothing like you've been disqualified and you can't serve God and you can't work for. There's nothing like that. The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You'd be sorry that God hasn't changed his mind. Have you not seen your mom tells you that? Do your laundry. Then you go to Westfield. And you get home almost midnight. And when you come, she's half asleep. And then she just mentions to her, say, Shanika. Is that Shanika? Then you say yes. Then he says that your laundry. She doesn't even ask you, where are you coming from? Even when she asks you, where have you been? As you are answering, she just says, the laundry, okay, the laundry, the laundry. And you know that voice, that you don't want to try her. Mm-hmm. So you see, you are sleeping. You think you've gone to Westfield, so you are coming to sleep. It's not time to sleep. You still have to do what you have to do. Yes. How much more God? His gifts and callings. Do you understand? Without repentance, it means there's no regret. He hasn't changed his mind. Yes, he's still waiting for you to come and do it. He's still waiting for you. It's your responsibility. The souls of this generation are the responsibility of the Christians in this generation. There are people you have to win, you have to bring to Christ. It's waiting for you. There are centers you have to start. Some of you here, there are centers. Some of you here dancing, you are center leaders. Anointed pastors. God is waiting for you. Go jumping. He's still waiting for you. See, you come to just. What's your name?
Grace.
Oh, the same person. But last week you had hair. Okay. This week you've tied it. Okay, so the same Grace. Okay. May the grace of God be with you. Yes. How many of you have gone shopping a bit? You've gone deviation things, and you feel because of that God has, you know, by now God has given up on you. Read my lips. He has not. Yes. You better start now. Yes. So as we're going to pray for 2 minutes, the Lord, help me to make full proof of my ministry. Know that you can make full proof of your ministry. Amen. Lift up your 2 hands and pray. Talk to him. Talk. Speak to him that he will help you. Speak to him so that he will help you. Even your rebellious ways has not made God change his mind about you. He still likes you. He still wants you. He'll still use you. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. There is nowhere that is too far from God. Too far from God. There is nothing like, you are still within his reach. You are still within his reach. His calling. His choosing. His calling. He's choosing you. He's choosing you. He likes you. He wants you. Look at me again. Look at me. We're going to pray for the last time. The Lord help me to fulfill my ministry. You see, two of our First Love pastors in the UK, they didn't, their own is not like backsliding. They said, God, I don't like you. I don't even believe in you. That was their stance. God has a very interesting sense of humor. As they were saying that, God, I don't like you. I don't want to go to church. God said, this is a person I like. People are there. I'm sure there are Holy Marys in the church. Holy Marys and righteous Pauls. God went by them. He walked away from them. And he said, these people who said they don't like God, I'm going to their house. going to their house. I'm going to call them. Today, they are pastors. They are ministers in the house of God. Their testimony is, I decided I won't go to church. I don't like God. Another one said, I don't believe in God at all. And God said, okay, we'll see who has power. We'll see who has power. There were holy Marys and righteous Pauls. He didn't choose them. He said, this is what I like. I like this. I like this. I like this. I mean, some people, when they buy pie, you know, that type of pie, you know, the pie that they use the fork to make the edges. Mm-hmm. When they buy pie, the only part they like are the edges. Mm-hmm. One lady said to me, said her husband, when she cooks jollof, do you know jollof?
Yes.
You know jollof?
Yes.
She said when she cooks jollof, he doesn't like the main part. He wants the bent part. Yeah. It's very, when I hear certain things, because it's very chewy. Try chewing, you get headache. Your jaws can easily lock. So when the husband comes, he says, I don't give it. Don't give all your effort. No. The spoilt part, the smoky black part, collect it and give it to me. Yes. That's his joy. That's his pleasure. How much more God? The mysterious will of God. You don't know what God wants. You are sitting there, you are sitting there disqualifying yourself, and God is watching and laughing. That's what, every Sunday after Sunday, you feel heat in your chair. You feel so uncomfortable. It's the call of God. Because others are relaxed. As I was talking, I could see different faces, different reactions. Some of you were very serious. Some were very relaxed. Not that they are not serious. They are serious, but they don't feel what you are feeling. You don't feel it. So even though you have disqualified yourself, God is still saying that you are like the under of the jollof. Mm-hmm. The part nobody will like. Nobody will eat. When they finish, they'll just put it in their bin and say, that's what I like. I'll make something nice. That the scripture says that he takes the foolish things of this world to confuse the wise. You think you are too bad to be chosen? Nowhere is too far for God to reach, or too deep for God to pick you up from, or too high for God to pluck you off. Nowhere. You are not out of his reach. He can reach you. And I feel you are feeling his reach and his hand on your life. 60 more seconds. Pray that, Lord, help me to fulfill my ministry. Pray it. Pray it. Pray it. Pray it. Thirty more seconds. Pray it. Lord, help me to fulfill my ministry. To fulfill it. To fulfill it. Lord, I want to fulfill my ministry. Help me, Lord. 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 To go where I have to go and to preach what I have to preach. Help me, Lord, to do what I have to do. Singing, dancing, acting. Lord, help me. Help me to do it. Center leader, pastor, missionary, whatever. Lord, help me. Help me to go where I have to go. To go where I have to go. To go where I have to go. And to preach what I have to preach. Help me, Lord. Even if today is your first time here, pray it. Pray the Lord. Lord, I don't know how I got here. I don't know how I came here. But Lord, I can see your interest and your love in my life. Help me to obey you. Help me to follow you. Help me to do your work and your will from today. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, O God. Help me to be serious with you. Ah, nahata shataya. Thank you, Father. Father, we thank you. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your help. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for giving us another chance, Lord. Another chance to be called your servants. To be called your servants, Lord. Help us, Lord, to stay. Lord, I pray for everyone here, Lord. May we find our place in your house to be fruitful, to be effective, to be called servants of the Most High God. 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 Lord, may we be called servants of the Most High God. Called by you. Called by you. Chosen by you, Lord. Let that be our status, Lord. Let that be our status, Lord. May we be known by your calling. May we be defined by your calling. May we be described, identified by the role and the place you've given us in your house, Lord. Let that be our story. What a privilege. What a privilege. What a blessing. What an opportunity, Lord, to be called your servants, O God. Thank you, Father, for this blessed atmosphere that you visit us in and you talk to us. In the name of Jesus, O God. Now, while every eye is still closed, we are still in prayer and every head is bowed. You are here, somebody invited you to church. Or you've been around, but deep in your heart you feel far from God. You've drifted away from God. Or you don't know God at all. But this afternoon, you want to say that, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to surrender my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Pastor, please pray with me. Please pray with me. I want to give my life to Christ. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want my sins to be washed away. Now, while every eye is closed and every head is bowed, if you're here like that, you want to say, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. Very quickly, lift up your right hand, wherever you are, and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand, and I'll pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. God bless you. God bless you. I can see your hand. I can see your hand. Just your right hand. God bless you. I can see your hands. God bless you. I want to give my life to Jesus today. I'm choosing Jesus today. I'm choosing him. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life. Keep your hand up. Yes, God bless you. I can see your hands. God bless you. God bless you. You also want to join in. You want to give your life to Jesus today. Don't run away from him. Don't run away from him. There's nowhere to hide. He loves you. He cares about you. He wants you. He will turn your life into a beautiful thing, into an attractive thing. Just your right hand and I'll pray with you. Pastor, pray with me. I need Jesus in my life. I want Jesus in my life. I can see your hands, but I know there's someone else. There's someone else who is debating within himself, who wants to choose Jesus today. Just your right hand, very quickly, so we can pray. We can pray. God bless you. God bless you. Choose Jesus today. You're choosing salvation. You're choosing life over death. God bless you. Lift it up. Lift it up. God bless you. God bless you. I can see your hands. Now, I need you to do one more thing for me. One more thing. If you have your hand lifted up, you want to give your life to Jesus. Maybe you're even ready in your heart to surrender your life to Jesus, but you haven't lifted up your hand yet. I want you all, both groups, hands up and hands not up, to come to me here in the front. Come from wherever you are. Come. Come. You lifted your hand or you didn't lift it. Come. Come right here. Come. 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 Come from wherever you are. Come. Come. Yes. Thank you. Come to Jesus. Come to the love of God. Come to the love of God. Come. I'm waiting for you. Come. Yes, I'm waiting for you. One more person, you're coming to Jesus today. Don't delay. Don't delay. Don't say another time. Today, come. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Now, very quickly, check with the person standing by you. Especially for someone that you don't know. Check, ask the person that, Are you saved? Are you saved? Are you born again? And if you offer, tell them, if the person is not sure, tell the person, look, I'll walk with you. It will be as though it is you, but we know it is you. So, and come with the person. If the person is not sure, anybody who is not sure of their salvation, take them by the hand and walk with them. Haven't you walked with people to nightclubs and other bad places? Yes. How much more walking with someone to salvation? Walking with someone to go and give their lives to Jesus. We're going to sing one more time. There's room at the cross. I'm giving you this chance to come to Jesus. To come to Jesus. If they are not sure, maybe they don't even understand what it means to be saved. Come with them. Come with them. Come. Come to Jesus. I'm waiting. We are just singing through one more time. You want to come to Jesus now? Come. Thank you. Close your eyes, everybody. Let's pray. Say this prayer after me, everybody in this room. Let's say this prayer together. Say with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus, who died on Calvary's cross for my sins. He shed his blood to wash away my sins and rose up on the third day. Say, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart. Please come into my life. Be the Lord of my life. Say, Heavenly Father, please write my name in the book of life. Say, from today, I will no longer serve Satan. I belong to Jesus. I've been bought by the blood of Jesus. I have been bought with the blood of Jesus. Say, thank you, Father, for salvation and for making me a child of yours today. And for making me a child of yours today. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Father, let their lives be blessed. Let them be deeply rooted in the faith and in you, O God. May they be found in you. May they be blessed in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Receive these books. God bless. God bless you. At the close of service, we'll see you briefly right here where it says Salvation Corner. So when we close the service, if you could please, all of you in front, you just come right here. We'll have a brief word with you before you leave. Okay, so please don't leave without coming here. We'll meet you here, have a brief chat with you, and then you may go home. God bless you. Go back to your seats. Clap for them. And receive communion. Stop praying for yourself. If healing you want, ask God for healing. If it's blessing you want, ask God for blessing. For strength you want, ask God for strength. Strength. Strength to serve him. Strength to live for him. Strength to live the life that Jesus lived. Strength. Stop praying for yourself. Pray. 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 Communion starts. You are slow. Be fast. Be fast. Be fast. Be fast. Yes, Lord. Pray for yourself. Pray for yourself. Speak. Pray for a particular thing. It will happen that as you drink the blood, as you drink the blood and you eat the Lord's body, it will happen. There'll be a change. There'll be healing. Power. Power will be released into your life. Power will be released into your world. Power. The power of God. The power of God will be released. There'll be a change. There'll be a blessing. There'll be a miracle. There'll be answered prayer. There'll be a change. Demons will flee. The power from hell shall be broken from off your life. Cycles of difficulty, cycles of struggles, cycles of pain shall be broken. Cycles of confusion, cycles of depression shall be broken by the power of the blood of Jesus. The power of the blood of Jesus. The power, the power, the power, the power, the power, the power, the power as we eat and we drink. The cup is called the cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. A blessing is being planted into your life. A blessing is coming into your life. A blessing. A blessing. A blessing. By the power of the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I bless every cup and I bless every bread. Like Jesus said, I declare, this is the body of Christ and this is the blood of Jesus. As we eat it and we drink it, health comes into us. Life comes into us. Anything that is dying, I declare that thing to come back to life. In the name of Jesus. Power by the blood of Jesus. Anything that could not overtake, destroy, take control of the life of Christ shall not take control over your life. Shall not take control over your life. Shall not take control over your life. In the name of Jesus. Be set free. Be liberated. Your freedom comes to you today. I announce your freedom today. Be free from every power of hell. Be free from every evil power. Live a victorious life. And be blessed. In Jesus' name. The body of Christ. Eat it. The blood of Jesus. Drink all of it. Lift up your two hands in victory. Father, every hand that is lifted up, I announce to the world on earth, the world under the earth, the world in the heavens, that these hands are the hands of a victorious person. Amen. That these hands are the hands of an overcomer. Amen. That these hands are the hands of those who have won and those who have overcome and those who have fought in battles and have come out victorious, Lord. May these hands be anointed. May these hands be blessed. May these hands win. May these hands succeed. May these hands prosper. May these lives, the hands that these lives represent, may they be blessed lives, Lord. Nothing that the enemy has brought against you shall have the upper hand against you. Amen. You will be victorious. Amen. You will overcome. Amen. You will do well. Amen. You shall prosper. Amen. And you will be happy. Amen. I prophesy happiness over your life and into your life. Amen. Your portion shall be happiness. Amen. Your portion shall be satisfaction. Amen. Your portion shall be joy. Amen. And your portion shall be peace. Amen. Thank you, Father, for blessing us this afternoon. In Jesus' name. And you shout a victorious amen. Amen. God bless you. You won. Take your seats.
We hope that you've been blessed by this message. For more information, follow us on social media. Search for First Love Church London on Facebook and YouTube, and First Love UK on Twitter and Instagram. Have a blessed week.